In victory or defeat, true fans never quit. Champions are made by the fans. That's why 5-Hour Energy is adding a new limited edition Stand the Fan 5-Hour Energy Shot to their roster. Fuel your team's spirit with a taste as sweet as an overtime win. Packed with an all-star lineup of B vitamins, nutrients, and 230 milligrams of caffeine, it keeps you feeling energized, loud, and proud all game long. Check out 5hourenergy.com to grab your Stand the Fan Shot today.
We are reacting. Texans win last night on Monday Night Football 34-10 over the Dallas Cowboys. We've been talking about that all morning. We will continue to talk about that in this segment with our Odyssey NFL insider, Ross Tucker. Insider calls are brought to you by Hellman's Real Mayonnaise. May your game day be delicious as we are joined by Ross Tucker. Hey, Ross, before we get into this Texans-Cowboys game from last night, the Texans have the Titans coming up this weekend. And, you know, I'm kind of feeling that game right now, but I need just a little bit more juice for this game coming up on Sunday. Is there anything you can tell us about this game that'll add some juice to it on Sunday?
Yes, Sean. Why, thank you for asking.
Yeah.
Your boy is coming to town.
Hell yeah.
So everybody that listens on 610 every Tuesday morning, you can actually see what I look like for once, because I will be there calling the game for CBS with Tom McCarthy and Jay Feely. So flying down Thursday, looking forward to it. I might even go, not officially, I might even go to the Cougs college basketball game Friday night.
Nice.
And hopefully get a chance to see at least one of you guys Thursday night, and then the game Sunday, which will be awesome. I mean, I have to imagine, you tell me, is that, is it over because they, you know, they play twice a year, or is it still a rivalry because of the whole Oilers franchise and that whole part?
The Titans thing, how would you categorize it, Seth, the whole Titans?
I think it started off maybe with a kernel of, you know, scorned lover hatred, but now it's just turned into just a massive disrespect for the entire state of Tennessee.
Yeah.
And also, they're very... I mean, Roz, I don't know if you know this. They were still debating in their state legislature last year whether or not first cousin legal should be made illegal.
Yep.
So
yep.
Did I say murder? Marriage.
Marriage.
First cousin marriage.
Said, yeah.
First cousin murder is A-okay in my book. But first cousin marriage is still a topic for debate. So we despise the entire state.
Yep. Yep. Does that sum it up for you, Roz?
That is amazing. Seth, I loved your tweet about the hamstring injury.
So Dak Prescott, they showed the injury that he had, which is basically your hamstring tendon, one or all three of them get pulled off your pelvis, and then they got to pin it back to your pelvis, and then you recover. I had it. Now, I was surprised to see Dak sitting in a chair after just having had that surgery, because when I had that surgery, they must have improved it. I was locked at the waist and the knee for several weeks afterwards. So I was either laying down or standing up. I could not sit at all. And immediately the first question people almost always ask me is like, so how'd you go to the bathroom? And I can't give that level of, it wasn't easy is
right,
all I'm going to tell you.
There you go.
Dak's got it.
You know
Dak's
what's
got
funny
it better
about
than
that?
I did.
Can I tell you something funny about that?
Yeah.
I had a college teammate, this is college now, who after he would go number two, he would stand up to wipe.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, Rod, I think it's easier if you just do that while you're sitting down. Yeah, I think it's a better angle.
Yeah, that's gross, dude. He ain't getting it all, you know?
So then the next day he tries, like, you're right. I taught like a 19-year-old man wiping while you're seated with like the angle of being seated is better than standing up to wipe.
Oh my God.
Which is like, there's so many scary lessons there. Like, what were the first 18 years like? What were his parents thinking?
Yeah.
I mean, how did he get into Princeton thinking that it was better to stand to wipe?
You know what?
I mean, like,
Ross,
I could do a whole 30 for 30 on that.
No, Ross, back when I used to do the midday show and things just get a lot off the rails a little bit more. I've done research on the various bathroom habits of our listeners and what you think is normal and that everybody else does. It's kind of pretty shocking how vastly, and everybody's convinced that what they do is the normal thing because they've been doing it for 40 years and they haven't known otherwise. So the Texans That's won last point. Night.
Yeah, but standing up is not where it's at.
I feel like this is a good segue into the Cowboys. If there's a team that is wiping itself standing up right now, it's the Dallas Cowboys.
Real quick, the football angle on this. Yeah. It's all coming into play. When I first got to Cornell, Ross, you're going to appreciate this. You go into the bathrooms in the locker room, and there were no doors on the stalls for the toilets. So if you were going to drop a deuce, you were doing it in front of all your comrades, and they were going to see everything.
Oh, guess what, Seth? That's how my high school was, and I went to a small high school, and so grades 7 through 12 were in the same high school. I'll never forget, early 7th grade, I'm doing my business, and in walks John Korzykowski, 6'5", 230-pound senior captain and tight end. He walks in, looks over at me sitting there, laughs and shakes his head and goes to the urinal. I was devastated. I told my mom. She talked to the principal, and at some point they installed doors because Rossi was so embarrassed that John Korzykowski saw me going number two.
Wow.
Dude, these days John Korzykowski would have like gotten arrested and gone
been canceled.
I can't be
he'd been canceled. Did they, at some point, did they have a ceremony after you graduated where they dedicated the doors of that locker room, the locker room stalls to you? They should.
No, but they should have.
Right.
I mean, I just think, and I understand like they didn't want kids in there smoking and whatever. Right. Like I get why they had no doors, but like, come on, I put like a smoke detector in. You can't like, I mean, I it was bad. There were kids, I think, that would just like hold it all day.
Oh, yeah, that's not good. Yeah, that's not good. All right, let's make sure we get to some football, as much as I enjoy the bathroom stall talk. Ross, we've now had the Texans on 3 straight nationally televised games. The nation has watched no team more than the Houston Texans the last 3 weeks. So you're getting ready to do this game on Sunday between the Texans and the Titans. What are your overall impressions of the Texans, particularly over this last 3-week period where they lost to the Jets, competed really well with the Lions, especially for a half, and then last night they just kind of take care of their business against the Cowboys?
A lot of talk about taking care of business on today's show.
Indeed.
Yeah, so I you know, it's funny, I guess, If you've been watching every snap of the last 3 games, I guess the one way to characterize it would be like sort of a somewhat healthy progression, right? Like the Jets game was bad. The Lions game was okay because, you know, Goff gave them some gift interceptions, whatever, but they still did it, but they blew the game at the end. And then last night was good. I mean, was it perfect? No. The Cowboys were able to get back in it. It was 17-10 for a while, but I don't care who you're playing. You win 34-10 in an NFL game. You're doing some positives. I mean, I guess in terms of things that jumped out to me, it really, really helps. This is not like the expert analysis you'll hear on Sunday, but it really helps when you have Nico Collins back in the lineup. I mean, it makes a significant difference. And I would add to that, probably the same if you have Will Anderson on defense, right? Mm-hmm. But they don't right now. I don't know. I haven't dug in too deep yet. Believe it or not, I'm doing a Maction game tonight, Akron at Kent State. Oh. So I'm in Kent, Ohio right now.
Wow.
So I haven't gone too deep yet on when Will's expected to be back. But I can tell you, I thought Nico made a big difference. I think Scruggs is better at left guard than who they were playing there, but that's not to be confused with still necessarily feeling really good about it. It still feels like it is a weak point, but I guess the answer is Patterson at center, Scruggs at left guard is their best alternative at this point. It is interesting how, you know, it's not like they run it 6 to 8 yards at a clip, but they do break off some big ones. Mm-hmm. It's just hard to believe how much of an impact Joe Mixon has had. I mean, I think the Bengals thought he was done or didn't think he had much left. Man, he has been a difference-making player, and I continue to be a little bit concerned with some of the things from CJ, you know, where it just feels like he's making some mistakes that he didn't make last year. I mean, that interception, I don't know what the deal was there. I didn't hear his explanation after the game, but I'd love to hear it.
Yeah.
Well, we're talking about this. You know, we're kind of, you know, asking the questions we were going to ask you in the previous segment where we were thinking about, okay, yeah, this is three national games in a row. A lot of people nationwide have gotten to see CJ. And then you hear from Troy Aikman last night during the broadcast. It's been very obvious these last several weeks that CJ has not been himself accuracy-wise. And it's not... there's two different buckets. There's the one part of his play where it's obviously a result of bad pass protection or guys not being open or whatever. That part you can identify as not really the quarterback's fault. But some of these easier throws that CJ usually makes look easy, he's been misfiring on. And like usually with quarterbacks, the only thing I can go to on that is that he's probably injured. Like he's probably banged up more than they've let on. I mean, isn't that the simplest explanation?
Well, it's interesting because in particular, the one pick last night, you know, Orlovsky, who does a nice job with this, watching the All-22, he has a nice breakdown where it seems like, you know, maybe the route that was run was not exactly what Stroud was expecting. And it's one of those, you know, in-breaking routes in the intermediate, you know, underneath the first defender and in front of the deep defender, and that perhaps, you know, the route that CJ was not expecting him to break it in. Like, and I'm looking at it right now as we're talking, it looks like CJ was trying to fit it in between Diggs, the corner, and Hooker, the safety, and was not expecting, I can't tell who the receiver is here, but was not expecting them to break it inside like a dig or a post. Yeah. He was just throwing it straight down. So that makes more sense just because it was so off. Like, there's no way it would have been that inaccurate. You know, he's just too good for that. So, but I don't know, you know, to be honest with you, I don't know, should that make you feel better or worse? You know, like, do you feel better that it wasn't a terrible throw, or worse that here they are in whatever it is, week 11, and they're not all on the same page?
Yeah, I'm that one, because I wasn't even really thinking about the interception itself as more as some of the incompletions on shorter passes where, like, see, yeah. Usually it's, you know, that one that Tank Dell had to reach for last night. Like, that, you didn't even think about that. And they would make ridiculously hard throws to the sideline to Tank Dell that, unless you're a Texans fan, you didn't even think it was complete because they were that hard. And now it's some of the simple things where it's just off a little bit. But even then, like, if I knew that it were injury, I would feel better about it because I feel like, okay, well, he's going to get better. He'll heal. Maybe it's a few weeks or something. If it's something like he's been rattled, then I start to worry about it because I don't know if that does get better for the remainder of the season.
Ross,
I think there's some truth to that. Let's hope that that whatever the correction is that needs to be made there, they can make on not being on the same page.
Insider calls brought to you by Hellman's Real Mayonnaise. You can purchase Hellman's at your local Walmart, Kroger, or grocery store to add extra deliciousness and creamy flavor to your game day dishes this football season.
Go enjoy your luxurious home with your door on your bathroom, Ross. Something you could only dream of when you're in junior high. Someday I'm going to have a door that gives me privacy when I go to the bathroom.
Sounds good, fellas. I'll see you guys Thursday night.
All right, sounds good. Yeah, we'll look forward to it, Ross. Definitely we'll get together and watch some ball on Thursday. Safe travels and have a good Maction call tonight.
Thank you. Appreciate it. Enjoy it. This would be huge. Kent State's 0-10. Akron's 2-8. They're both desperate for a win. I love it.
This is where you need someone as entertaining as Ross Tucker on the call. 2-8 v 0-10. You're on this game for a reason, Ross Tucker. I'm telling you right now.
God sent me to this game.
He did. God sent you to there and to this Chili's. Absolutely. Ross Tucker joining us on the show. We'll see you on Thursday, Ross.
See you guys.
All right, take care. The great Ross Tucker joining us. By the way, that was Odyssey NFL Insider Ross Tucker. Insider calls brought to you by Hellman's Real Mayonnaise. May your game day be delicious.
Just, I know Ross and I get way off track too much, Sean, so don't worry. I won't go for too long now. But there is that part. Like, just everybody right now, aside from enjoying the simple pleasure of your Texans having an emphatic win last night, even though there's certain things that left you unsatisfied, I swear, some of my favorite moments in life anymore are when, like, I'm walking through the grocery store, and it kind of hits me. I'm 49 years old, and it's still like, oh, yeah, I'm going to buy that entire container of cookies and do whatever the hell I want with them.
Because you can.
It's stuff that I would have dreamed of when I was a kid.
Yep.
You know? And I'll buy the expensive ones. I don't care.
Right.
I can do whatever the hell I want. There's so many things that the law permits me to do that, like, when I was 13, if I told my 13-year-old self nothing about playing in the NFL or anything like that, if all I told him was that, hey, a few decades from now, you're going to have your driver's license and you're going to have had sex a good number of times in your life.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's enough. That's it.
And then you can eat a whole sleeve of cookies anytime you want to.
Yeah, and you're going to, your house?
Yeah.
You can do whatever you want in it.
In your house, yeah.
Really, literally. And then you don't even have to involve the law for the most part. Just be careful.
Oh.
And, so many of us are living the 13-year-old dream.
You're going to have a TV in every room. And, oh, by the way, if you don't have enough TVs, you'll be able to watch TV on your phone.
Right. Well, yeah, and that's without even informing my 13-year-old self of the existence of the internet.
Correct.
Because then I'd have to explain how much pain it's going to bring as well. So
yes, you got to be balanced. Yes,
and fear for democracy and
that's
all that.
Right, yeah.
But other than that, yes,
it's good stuff, man. It's good stuff. Hey, by the way,
I got Sean.
Yeah.
Never mind. I'm gonna let's get back to football.
Okay. The play that Ross was talking about there, the CJ interception. Nico was the intended receiver on that play. He was the one closest to it. I kind of thought that, too. As much as we're talking about maybe there being an injury with CJ, I'm with you. Like, the incompletions are the ones that look more like a quarterback who might be dealing with something. That looked more like a miscommunication. That looked more like CJ expected Nico to kind of stop in that little soft spot right there. And Nico cut inside, and there was just... Which would stand to reason there'd be a miscommunication. The two haven't played in a game together in a long, long time.
Yeah, some of that reading coverage on the fly stuff. You know, Nico's been working all the physical stuff and everything, but reading the defense on the fly and adjusting your route, that takes a little bit of time, perhaps.
Yep.
So, I'm not worried about that part of it, and I'm not worried about him being long-term rattled. And I would actually be kind of encouraged if somebody gave me inside info that, CJ's hand injury is actually affecting him or what, and it has been for a few weeks. Because it's those little dinks and dunks that help extend drives or get you to third and three instead of third and eight. That's the stuff. It's one of the things the Texans offense has been missing the last few weeks.
Text message, 5-Hour Energy fan line. 5-Hour Energy, the official energy shot of Sports Radio 610 and football superfans. You know it's bad when you make up excuses for our QB about injuries that nobody knows exist, LOL. He was on the injury report with a right hand injury. Like, what are you talking about?
Respectfully, texter, go poop in a bathroom with no stall.
With no doors.
Okay?
With no
That's
doors.
That's what I condemn you to, that punishment.
And allow your neighbors to walk through the bathroom and stare at you as you're doing that.
Yeah.
I hope you're embarrassed.
I guess maybe I need to be more clear about that. He's on the injury report. A throwing hand injury.
Listening skills.
You know when you hear about a pitcher that has a blister on his pinky on
that's
his throwing
injury.
Hand?
Yeah. That's an injury.
And it ends up being a big deal? Yeah.
All right, let's relive some of the game from last night. We do it through the voice of Mark Vandermeer. We typically do this in the 7 o'clock hour the day after a game. And let's start with the first drive. The very first play from scrimmage for the Texans would have been a 77-yard catch and run from C.J. Stroud to Nico Collins. Would have made two consecutive plays for Nico Collins dating back to week 5 in which he would have scored a touchdown of more than 67 yards.
Which, like, this is starting to, the first, do you know what? You want to get people into the stadium quicker?
Yeah.
The Texans' ability to scheme Nico Collins for a 70-yard touchdown on the first play of games.
Pretty good.
Or in the first quarter.
Yeah.
Like, versus the Bills.
Yeah.
Or was that the first offensive play in that game?
No. That made it 14-3 in that game.
That's right. But their ability to scheme things for Nico early and to exploit whatever they've seen on film, that's must-see TV,
It's
like a George Springer at-bat in the Astros
case. Yes,
yeah. He's going to hit a leadoff home run, potentially.
Be in your seat. Yeah, hell yeah. Now, fortunately, the play got called back. The touchdown got called back. Laramie Tunsil, illegal man downfield. We've hashed that out already on the show. I'm sure we'll talk about it again. I like seeing the Texans being a little resilient here and still going and getting a touchdown on that opening drive. That was really good to see, and here's what it sounded like.
At the 45-yard line of Dallas, first and 10. Hand off Mixon, starts right, cuts back left, has room, 30, 25, 20, 15, 10, 5, rock and roll, touchdown, Joe Mixon.
And no flags.
45-yard TD run, Monday night Mixon.
It's exactly what I wrote in my notes, no flags,
no
all
flags,
caps.
I know.
It's literally
oh, boy. That's another little gift that the Texans have given you.
No.
You're desperately looking for flags after any. You're just waiting. I see so few post-game celebrations because I'm staring at the bottom of the screen.
100%.
Waiting to see the little indicator.
Yes. Yeah. But didn't happen. Joe Mixon, 45-yard touchdown. Boy, Joe Mixon has been dynamite this year. Over 100 yards again last night.
And kudos to the offensive line and Dalton Schultz and the wide receivers, especially blocking downfield on that play. That was a well-executed zone run cutback. Good job. Now just do that 50 more times.
That'd be great. Especially
in the red zone.
In red zone against really good teams. That would be perfect to do.
Sean, it gets to the point sometimes now where when they're down near the goal line and they get a penalty, I'm like, oh, if they could just get knocked out of the red zone.
Yeah.
They've got a shot at scoring a touchdown.
Yes.
Just get knocked out one more back. Get one more penalty.
Yeah. Music to our ears. First and 10 from the 22. Yeah.
Yeah. Do that run blocking up where the guys are actually, yeah.
All right. So up 7-0, the Texans were. Cowboys get the ball. And this is where you knew, like, at least early on, that the Cowboys were grab-bagging a little bit. You might have had them flinch. They stop a fake punt, the Texans do.
No Steven Sims tonight. Robert Woods will get a chance to return this punt. Brian Anger, the former Texan and Jaguar, inside the 20-yard line, ready to deliver. 7-0 Houston, 10:41 to go in the first. Dallas got a first down, but then punted. It's a fake punt over the middle, and it's caught.
He's short, though.
It's a stop by Metchie, and the receiver, Thomas, is short of the first down.
That's how you make yourself a valuable player. You do it on special teams. You do it any way you possibly can. We saw Metchie with a big catch already in this game. Makes one heck of a stop, and the Texans now are...
Didn't capitalize on that, though. Didn't capitalize.
No!
Yeah.
It turned into one of the dumbest series ever by the offense.
That was a series that ended with the interception that you and I just got done talking about when the Texans got the ball back there.
That point right there was where I felt like, this will be it.
Yeah.
Oh, boy, this is where it all... Because from the Cowboys' perspective, the Cowboys are reeling. They haven't won at home this calendar year.
Yep.
And they've been losing by 20-plus points in all those games at some point at home. And it felt like, okay, this is where this place is going to almost literally burn to the ground and fall apart. The Texans couldn't really capitalize on it. But I loved that for John Metchie. My initial thought was, this guy beat cancer. And you're out here trying to dink him with this little nonsense, which I can see what they were going for.
Mm-hmm.
If you had an actual quarterback there who might have gotten rid of the ball quicker faster, if he catches that on the run, then he's got a really good chance of beating Metchie. But Metchie tackled the catch. It was beautiful by Metchie.
Swarm.
Metchie had some nice blocks last night. I got angry. Okay, Sean, this might not come up again. Troy Aikman.
Yeah.
I said go die at home.
Oh, whoa,
and he started
questioning
John Metchie's toughness.
Yeah, that was messed up, blocking
on that play. Whoa, D'Amico's going to have a talk with him.
Yeah.
Yeah, Metchie gets it. Metchie blocks his butt off for a guy who's undersized. And on that play, it was more mistiming and taking a, like, just not misjudging his target more so than a lack of toughness.
Yeah. Like, you're going all mama bear for John Metchie here. I like it.
Aikman was annoying me last night.
Yeah.
I felt it was weird. I don't usually accuse him of homerism with Cowboys games. I think he tries to go the opposite direction. But there were a couple where the one time where he thought that Jimmy Ward should have gotten flagged for illegal contact.
Yeah.
And the rules advisor was like, that was at 5 yards. What the hell are you talking about?
Right. So the Texans kind of let the Cowboys hang around in this thing in the first half. And this was the only way the Cowboys were going to score touchdowns in this game. Was a huge long chunk play, and unfortunately the Texans gave up a huge long chunk play.
Empty backfield now for the Cowboys from their 36-yard line, 3rd and 10. Rush out of the gun, throws on the slant. He's got his man, Turpin, wide open, and he's running across the 30, 20, 10. Shot out of a cannon. What speed. Touchdown, Dallas, 64 yards.
Okay, so people asked... I keep referring to this Turpin play because I had multiple people ask me last night, Seth, why are they playing so much zone? And I thought that these must be Turpin's relatives or something asking me that because we already saw it. Like Turpin was Okuda had Turpin, and Kalen Bullock behind him, they started off showing two high safeties. They rotated to single high at the snap, and it looked like Kalen thought, and it did look at on film like this, Kalen thought that Okuda had inside was going to have had inside leverage, and he kind of anticipated him forcing everything to the outside.
Yeah.
And that was enough that when Okuda got beat back inside, Kalen Bullock just couldn't catch up.
There,
so so I don't know if Kalen's more of a veteran, does he anticipate it a little bit quicker? But at the end of the day, you had Okuda on a really fast receiver, and he got beat in man coverage.
Yeah.
And that's why they weren't playing a bunch of man coverage
yep.
last night.
Yep. So that made it 14-7. I would say one of the more underrated plays in this game was Texans up 17-10. It's towards the end of the half, and Brandon Aubrey, who is one of the best kickers in football, would later kick a 64-yard field goal in this game that the Cowboys would take off the board to accept a penalty. But this happened late in the half right here.
So the Cowboys drive. This started at their 20-yard line. Now they're lining up for a field goal to try to cut it to four. Anger, the spot. Here's the kick. Up and
pushed it.
No good. Off the right upright. The Texans dodged a bullet.
Right, that's the first field goal that an opposing kicker has missed against the Texans all season long. There's not been a single missed field goal against the Texans this season. And the Texans ended up doing nothing with getting the ball there. They had about a minute to go, and they had a very uninspiring three and out. The Cowboys actually almost went and got another field goal. There was that much time left in the half when the Texans tried to go down and get some points. I had no problem with them being aggressive trying to get points. It just didn't work out. But that missed field goal there, I thought, took a little wind out of the Cowboys' sails. You know, this, I know it's just 3 points, and you're still trailing at the half. But if you're the Cowboys, man, like, this is a game you had to capitalize on every opportunity to score.
This is a team that just tried a fake punt in their own territory.
Yeah.
And McCarthy's not like a Dan Campbell type of, you know, swashbuckler. I think that fake punt almost still psychologically showed the Cowboys' hand, and that felt like, okay, the guy who's in a foxhole and he's being overrun, and his pistol is out of ammunition, so he throws the pistol at the enemy.
Yes.
Like, that's it. That was their last desperate throwing of the pistol at the enemy to see if he can knock somebody out at least.
Yep. So the Texans go into the half up 17-10. The Cowboys get the ball coming out to start the second half. And then, identical to the New England game, maybe not in the outcome of the play, because in the New England game, Danielle Hunter forced a strip sack. But in this one, I thought this was a huge early play in the second half. The Cowboys trying to go get points. They get the ball to start the second half, and Danielle Hunter made this play, and he had an amazing second half in this game, Danielle Hunter.
Here's a 2nd and 9 from the Dallas 31. Cooper rushing the gun. Dowdle in motion to the right. Rush takes the snap, looks it over. He's under pressure. He's going to be sacked.
Danielle.
Brought down. Danielle Hunter with the sack on Rush.
Excellent job. He's been close a few times tonight, working against Terrence Steele.
Drive killer right there by Danielle Hunter. Early half drive killer. I thought that was really, really big. Texans would get the ball back. They'd eventually kick a field goal to go up 20-10. And then this was an interesting sequence because the Cowboys try a 64-yard field goal with Brandon Aubrey. He makes it a 64-yard field goal. He makes it to make the score 20-13. However, Derek Barnett gets penalized for a head slap on an offensive lineman. So the Cowboys take the points off the board, right?
Yes.
And Kalen Bullock nearly gets a pick six. He doesn't. Yeah. And then the Cowboys decide to go for it on 4th and 2. And the whole Derek Barnett thing with the head slap actually winds out working out for the Houston Texans.
4th and 2 at the Texans 8. Lamb right side. Stingley will watch him. Rush takes the snap. Steps to the right. He's in trouble. He throws and incomplete. And a flag is down. It's in the backfield.
It would be a hold on the Cowboys. So the Texans would obviously decline that and get the ball back right there. So that was a sequence where it's one of those things, like, it was a horrible mistake by Derek Barnett that wound up working out even better for the Texans.
I saw some funny timelines last night, screenshots of people that are like, cut him, cut Derek Barnett right now. What the hell are you doing? And then
Good job, Barnett.
Yes.
Yeah.
That's funny. Oh, boy, I get it. Derek Barnett and Denico Autry, and then you add those guys to Jerry Hughes. Just as we should have ND on just to have a segment talking about this. I can just tell you, there's a certain way those guys operate, head slap notwithstanding, that's really cool to watch as a defensive lineman. It's just like these guys, they operate at a different level. I would say with Derek Barnett there, and you see this with Jerry Hughes and you see it with Denico Autry, just their hand-eye coordination when they get around the quarterback.
Yeah.
You know, their ability to get their hand on the arm or on the ball.
It's
been huge. It's been huge in a few of the last games. You know, like that part's cool to see.
Well, it was huge here because the Texans, they take over. They end up punting the ball back to the Cowboys. So now, again, the Cowboys are driving now early in the fourth quarter, and Derek Barnett, who had the head slap to keep that drive alive for the Cowboys in the third quarter, makes a play and then makes another play.
Second and six for Dallas from their 40. Cooper Rush with Dowdle to his left, bunch formation right after motion. Rush in trouble. Strip sack. Who's got it? It's still loose. Texans pick it up. Here's Barnett on the run. 20-15. 10-5, touchdown! Scoop, score, Derek Barnett.
And that broke the game. That broke the game open. Barnett makes the initial strip sack fumble there. It's scooped up by Tyler Guyton, the Cowboys' left tackle, who then, you know, is just at that point just trying to run with the ball for as long as he can. Jalen Petrie comes in like a missile and puts his helmet on the ball, knocks it loose, and then there's Derek Barnett. Gets a perfect bounce on it, scoops it up, runs it in. We talked to Aziz Alshire after the game, Seth, Clint Sterner and I did. And if you go back and watch the replay, you can totally see what Aziz was talking about. He said, man, I was nervous that the DB, Derek Barnett, that he was going to step out of bounds at the two. He kind of, like, he almost steps out of bounds and sort of straddles the pylon and holds the ball out over the goal line to get in. Like he was not returning that like somebody who returns a lot of balls for touchdowns.
I'll tell you what, boy, Petrie, man. I mean, and it was two straight series that he would do this, just coming up and thumping somebody. He got flagged on the next series, but him going up, the visual, Sean, I don't know if this is how you took it in. The visual of it was you're watching the big dude with the ball, and then all of a sudden, out of nowhere, it's like in a group fight when somebody just comes in out of nowhere and cold cocks somebody from out of the frame. They're not even in the frame, and all of a sudden they just come in.
Yes.
I just see this. I see this flash of light in this tiny object, like a meteorite, hitting that big galoot and knocking the ball out. It was beautiful. God, I love Petrie.
Yeah.
Petrie's got the potential to become like a Troy Polamalu type.
Yeah.
This guy that you just respect for the fact that the guy is anywhere and everywhere all at once.
Loves to
you
hit.
Know?
Loves to
hit.
Yeah,
and he just loves to hit, and he plays with a reckless abandon. Yeah. But the other thing I liked about Petrie last night was early on he missed that tackle versus CeeDee Lamb.
Yep.
And he kind of took a little bit of a wrong angle. He wasn't using the sideline. He wasn't working with the sideline as a tool. And later on in the game, he was in almost the exact same situation later in the game, and he took the right angle, you know, and he had a nice form tackle.
Yeah.
He's just really coming into his own. It's fun to watch.
It's great to see, and he's local kid, and he's so likable, and the team loves him. You know, CJ talks about Jalen Petrie unprompted a lot of times about leadership qualities and things like that. He got voted a captain last year, and his play did not map to someone being a captain. This year, he's not a captain this year. He didn't get voted as one. But, man, it is really cool to see the role that he's carved out for himself on this defense.
Right, you know, and you credit to D'Amico and Matt Burke for kind of recognizing and understanding. You know, we saw this with a lot of guys last year. It took the team a full year to really figure out, okay, what can this guy do and how do we highlight that?
Yeah.
And they found the perfect role for him playing that star position.
We would be remiss in this segment where we relive the game last night to not relive history being made. The Texans score a touchdown, not on defense, but on offense, for the first time in over a month.
Baxton and I, Stover and Mixon, first and goal from the one. Handoff Joe, right side run. He's in! Touchdown! Hat trick! Joe Mixon scores! And the Texans celebrate the end zone.
That's right. We're going to
celebrate right now. And the Battle Red faithful cheer them on here in Arlington.
Oh, yeah. They have not left, my friend.
In the
they are
zone.
Here.
Yeah.
The lower bowl, it is just filled with red.
That's right.
33 points on the board for Houston.
You can no leave go celebration your, going, yeah.
Go back to your safe houses, Cowboys.
That's right. That's
yeah.
Right. It did sound odd, like with the highlights still going. Like, wow, are they playing celebration at Jerry? Well, they probably would, idiots. They probably would play celebration. Oh, whoops.
Oh, if Jerry thought it would sell more concessions.
Yeah.
He's like, these Texans, they love to eat. I know that. These Houstonians.
Yeah, man.
You know, keep those hot dog stands open.
I was happy to see. I don't care that it was a short drive. I don't care they set up because the Cowboys are just going forward on
I don't care that the Cowboys are the worst run defense in the league.
Don't care, yeah. Seth. Six plays, 35 yards, 2.5
second
minutes.
Half touchdown, Brian.
That's right.
Second half touchdown.
That's right.
I thought the thing I thought of immediately, Sean,
yeah.
Was the scene in Waterboy when after they get their first win, they're at the house party, and Henry Winkler's sitting on the couch kind of, having a fireside chat with all the players on the team. And he says, now that you finally won a game, you feel looser. You've got some confidence, and you can do it again. That was Henry Winkler to tell the guys, like, hey, now that you finally scored a second-half touchdown, you feel looser. You'll have some confidence in the second half, and now you can do it again.
God, I hope so, man. I hope so. All right. Man, I'm looking up at the screen. Should the Cowboys consider trading Micah Parsons? Good job, Texans. Good job. You have forced Hot Take Central on Get Up this morning. Yes.
Micah, it's impossible. I tried to dredge up hatred for Micah Parsons this week.
Yeah.
And he just looks like such an innocent child. When he's sitting on the sideline, he doesn't even look angry on the sideline. He just looks confused.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Like, he's been in a year-long process of learning that his parents are getting divorced and accepting it.
Right.
You know,
right.
And he's just still trying to figure out the way the world really works.
Yep.
Yeah.
We'll hear from D'Amico Ryans inside the Texans locker room. And, what Andre Ware was talking about there, Texan fans showed up last night. Like, the consensus on the amount of Texan fans in the building, and we asked everybody who was there, they called in on the postgame show, good job, Texan fans. What did D'Amico Ryans think of that? Well, you'll hear from the Texans head coach coming up next. It is a special edition Reaction Tuesday here on Sports Radio 610. We'll be reacting all day long to the Texans 34-10 win over the Cowboys last night. Speaking of reacting, here is D'Amico Ryans and his victory speech to the team following last night's 34-10 victory on the road.
Hey, man, hey, great job, man. Hey, proud of you guys. All right, we talked about bouncing back stronger, right? That's a strong comeback right there, all right? Love how you guys are dialed in all week, all right? And it showed up on the field, all right? And it showed up in a lot of different ways, all right?
Yep.
First off, all right, playing fast and aggressive in the run game. Mm-hmm. Got first game ball right here. 3 touchdowns on the 100-yard run.
Game ball for Mixon.
Defense, right? We knew we had to step up. First off, we said we had to handle 88.
Okay.
Sting, I asked him to travel with 88. He did that. All right? One pick, locked 88 down all night. 2 pass defended. Great job, Sting. Man, one more, baby. Anytime we score on defense, I'm fired up. All right? I'm fired up. All right? Gary Barnett, 1 strip sack for a touchdown.
All right, so there you go. How about this little factoid, Seth? The last player, they showed this on ESPN last night after the game. We had several people text in during the postgame show. The last player to force a fumble and scoop and score on the same play, D'Amico Ryans, for the Texans, D'Amico Ryans in 2007. Was the
really?
The last one. Now D'Amico.
Now,
he
there was no dual exchange
right,
possession there.
There was no laundering of the fumble in between. D'Amico scooped and scored his own fumble that he forced in that game in 2007. They showed it last night during SportsCenter. Last night's was a little different. Barnett forces the fumble. Tyler Guyton of the Cowboys scoops it up, and then Petrie comes in and forces another fumble. And Barnett scoops and scores on the same play.
It felt like a money laundering
scheme.
It
did, man. It was
somehow we got to figure out a way to get some extra extra stats out of this.
Yes,
let's force two fumbles
on the same play.
Yes.
Yep. So that was really, really cool. Joe Mixon getting a game ball there. Stingley getting a game ball. You and I talked about Stingley a lot in the first hour of the show. Stingley, I think you can make a case Stingley was the best player on the field last night.
The one play last night where Stingley tackled CeeDee Lamb. CeeDee Lamb was hit on that crosser.
Yeah.
And Derek tackled him there. Like I feel like in a week in which we saw Sauce Gardner look indignant that their head coach had given them a presentation on tackling technique, I don't feel like Derek Stingley. I can't recall Derek Stingley ever scoffing at the notion of being coached. I don't think. So aside from how good Derek Stingley's been in coverage, and he's been a better player this year than Sauce Gardner, he also does not shy away from the physical aspects of the game the way the larger Sauce Gardner totally does.
Yeah, I guess, that's maybe the highest compliment I can pay about that game. In a game where Stingley broke up multiple passes, had an interception, drew an offensive pass interference in the end zone from CeeDee Lamb.
Yeah.
That tackle you're talking about might have been the most impressive play that just looks like a 7-yard pass on the box score. You know, because, I mean, CeeDee Lamb, on a lot of those plays like that, there's a reason they get him with going some momentum across the field like that. It's because he catches it and then runs for another 25 yards afterwards.
Yeah, the circle of swarms is going to be tough this week.
It is tough,
because I know, and the offensive performance wasn't great, but there were some gritty performances, obviously. But Derek Stingley, and watching him really just fully come into his own as a professional cornerback this year, it's been cool to watch.
Fans showed up, man. Every Texan fan we talked to after the game, Seth. Now keep in mind, on the post game show, we talked to several that were actually at the game in Dallas, at least a half dozen or so. And keep in mind that all of them probably had some degree of alcohol coursing through their veins. But all of them said, like, the minimum percentage we got from Texan fans that were at the game was that the crowd was split down the middle 50-50. There were several people we talked to that said there were more Texan fans there than Cowboy fans at the game last night, which I find shocking. I'm not saying they're wrong, and it's really hard to tell on any sort of TV feed because they don't stay on the crowd all that long.
Yeah.
But this we know, the crowd showed up. D'Amico talked about this after the game. He was asked, what'd you think of the fans showing up? Something he was kind of asking for a little bit. He was asked about it in the week leading up to the game. He was very excited about how the Texan fans showed up.
Hey, it was awesome seeing all our Texans fans show up, right? That was really cool to see on the road, to see all the Texans jerseys, to see how fired up our fans were, created some crowd noise. Man, that's cool. Anytime you can come in away stadium and really feel your fans, hear your fans, all right, being loud, being disruptive, that was really cool for our guys.
And you know, there's one thing. CJ in his post game had mentioned that, you know, they talked about over the last couple weeks, hey, recognize who's with you and who's not with you and just align yourself with everybody who's with you. I hope that it's not there's a disillusionment that comes with being a professional athlete in modern times where you see every bit of negativity out there if you want to. You just listen. You're never going to satisfy 100% of the fan base.
No, you
can't focus on the people like that went up to Dallas when, yes, there's lots of skepticism or legitimate questions about the offense, all of that. That was really cool. On a Monday night game versus a bad opponent, we saw a boatload of Texans fans up there. Sean, pull up your phone for a second because I want you to read that text from a Sports Radio 610 in-law. This is the husband of somebody who works for Sports Radio 610 who was up at the game last night.
Okay.
I had, in the pregame, I had wondered, I was like, you know, the last time, in 2014 when Tony Romo had to go to a silent count, it was a noon Sunday game.
Yeah.
And, okay, easy trip to make up there. It's noon on Sunday. You can get back and get the kids in school on Monday. To which our Sports Radio 610 in-law texted you. He was at the game.
Yes. And he said, hang on one second, I got to go find that text. He said that Cowboy fans don't care about their jobs or their kids' educations. Basically.
Oh, no, Texans.
Oh, Texan fans. I'm sorry, Texan fans. Yeah. Texan fans. Yeah,
Texans fans don't care about their jobs. Right? Yeah, they were up there last night.
They were up there. Yeah. They were up there.
Oh, you're going to miss a Tuesday in fourth grade. So, yeah.
To be fair, Cowboy fans probably don't care about their kids' education either. But
that's clear. They're just trying to.
It just manifests it. Yeah, and it shows a little more with the Cowboy fans. Texan fans are able to mask that part.
They're busy, like, pre-crafting the you know, multi-layered prenuptial agreement that they're going to use their daughters to gold dig somebody
for the future. That's right. Text message, 5-Hour Energy fan line. I'm happy we got the win. I'm even more happy so many Texan fans were at the game and were as loud or louder than the Cowboy fans. It was enough for the commentators to talk about it on the broadcast.
Yeah, that was cool. Yeah. Look, yeah, and, it was, you know, part of it. Obviously, if that was a sold-out stadium, the Texans wouldn't have had the majority of fans there. But you had a really engaged fan base for the Texans. I didn't notice a point in the game where the Cowboys offense struggled because of the crowd noise or anything. No. But it was fun after that Joe Mixon touchdown. It felt like, oh, that sounds like a home crowd reaction. There was a lot of cheering there.
Yep. No doubt. You ready to do the Pettycast?
Oh, I'm petty AF.
Tuesday,
yeah.
Pettycast. I'm petty AF too right now. We get petty at 8 o'clock on Tuesdays. We let our own pettiness seep through, and we cite the extreme pettiness of others throughout the weekend and maybe even last night. We'll get to that coming up next. It is the Payne and Pendergast Pettycast coming up next.